Isn't it only God's people could enjoy a song called Sunshine in My Soul when it's raining outside? Amen. And thank you so much, brother. What a great time of praise and worship this morning. Hey, how about that, folks? I'd like you to know that our sound team continues to work on the sound, and it's just fantastic this morning, guys. I don't know about everybody else, but I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed praise and worship this morning. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. We are continuing our current series titled Above All. It's a survey of the book of Hebrews. And today, our message will be on patience. I'm certain that it's something that so many of us have no issue with whatsoever in our lives. Amen. Patience. All over the sanctuary, if you have it in printed or digital format, would you hold your Bibles up in the air, please? Amen. All over the Bible, all over the sanctuary. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Please turn in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. And I would like to give a word of admonishment here today, that after we do our third point, do not put your Bibles away. You will need them again. We will be turning to some passages after the third point today. But now, if you are there, if you are at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, please say amen. Amen. And it reads this way, Hebrews 10, 36, reading from the Word of God, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God," watch that now, "after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this day and this wonderful place that you have given us to worship in. Lord, we thank you for all that have come here today. We thank you for those visiting with us on the internet. And so, Father, today we ask that you forgive the teacher his sins, for they are many. Let his lips speak only your truth. And let us hear the soft sound of the sandaled feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You see that word there, therefore do not count, as we're looking at this, for you have need of endurance. That word endurance there, the Greek word, hupomone, and that's all the Greek I'm going to give you guys today, is better rendered patience. Having patience. I am so pleased that our praise team has patience with their pastor. I don't get involved with what the worship order is, but the one thing that I do insist on is that every single week we have a special song coming to us. Whether it's the praise team singing or a soloist or Brother Russell or Brother Davidson playing the instrumental music. And by the way, how blessed are we to have two keyboard players like that? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God for that one. And so patience is a wonderful thing. That word endurance is better rendered patience. And what the writer is talking about is waiting on the promises of God. Waiting on the promises of God. Now you think about that for just a moment. With God, timing is more important than the time in which it gets done. I'm going to say that one more time. With God, timing is more important than the time in which something gets done. That is not the way of modern society. So many of us want it, and we want it now. Amen? We want instant coffee. We want instant credit. We want instant gratification. We are the only society that stands at the microwave, tapping our feet, waiting on the popcorn to get done. In fact, tomorrow, that will be done tomorrow, is almost a dirty word in today's vocabulary. But so often with the Lord, so often with God Almighty, there is a time of patient waiting between the asking and the receiving. How many of us have asked the Lord for something and we received it, but it was sometime later? Say amen all over the sanctuary. Hallelujah. I believe that is all of us. We all enjoy reading the Word of God, the promises of God. You know, when you think about it, God's promises are like checks that are drawn on heaven's bank. Now stay with me for just a moment here. We endorse those checks with our faith. And after we endorse that check with our faith, the promise of God, we present that check to the Lord for payment. There's only one problem that we run into, is many of God's checks are post-dated. God's check is good because God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Church, God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. But God is not man that he should lie, and therefore God's promises are good. But to most of us, it seems that God delays sometimes between the asking and the answering. You know, I have noticed that our God is an on-time God. It is, however, in His time. Listen to me, Emmanuel Baptist Church. God is never late. But I have also noticed that God is never early. And let me give you three reasons quickly before we get to our main points. Reasons why God would delay in the answering of our petitions. And the first one is, you may want to write this on the side or in the margin somewhere. The first is, God will do it for as a development factor in your life. A development factor in your life. God does not give us what we want, exactly when we want it, because God is developing us and growing us and preparing us for His plan. What does that mean? That means that you may not be spiritually ready to handle the blessing that God has planned for you. That was so good, I think I'll repeat that. You may not be spiritually ready to handle the blessing that God has for you. Some of us, as we've gotten more mature in years, we've learned how to better handle our finances. Amen? And we learn how to better handle our finances because there were times in our lives we did such a poor job with that. It was a development factor. Now, you may be the type that cannot handle the blessing of God. So there is a development factor. Next, then, there is a diligence factor. God does not give promises and then answer them for those who are not diligent to Him. You must be diligent to God. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 11, verse 6. Look at it. It's right. It should be on the same page or close. If you dare say amen.
Amen.
But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. God wants us to diligently seek Him in our faith. Diligently seek the Lord. Next is the devotional factor. Meaning, far too many times, we are seeking the blessing rather than seeking the Lord. Did you get that? Say amen.
Amen.
We are seeking the blessing. In other words, we want the blessings of God, but we don't want the Lord to get too involved with our personal life. And so, the point here is that we are to seek His face and be devoted to Him and remember Him. And I have 3 points this morning that will help us to at least have an outline on learning patience when we're waiting on the blessings of God. If you have your notes, please say amen.
Amen.
Our first point today, if you look at it, is remember yesterday's provision. Remember yesterday's provision. In your Bibles, as soon as you finish writing that down, I'm going to read verses 32 to 35 for you from chapter 10 there. If you dare, say amen. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, now listen to this, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Now, what does that mean in plain English? You ready, church? It says, when you are ready to lose hope, when things are difficult, and you've lost sight of maybe God's not there, when you're ready to lose hope, you are to reflect and remember the times that God already provided in your life. I think we've all had those moments where we look back and realize God took care of that. I was talking to our young Sunday night guitarist last night, Manny, and we were talking about that very thing. of looking back in our lives and just reflecting on what God had already provided, how He had already made provision for the things that we have in our lives. And in His Word, in the Word of God, God is saying, you got through that before with Me. Remember what happened yesterday. Remember that I was with you going through there. And because you knew I was there, look at the second half of verse 34 again, please. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Guys, this is not it here. We have provisions in heaven already laid down. Amen. And the whole concept, the entire idea of heaven on earth, of living in a paradise on earth, is when a Christian fully believes the promises of God, has received the Lord Jesus Christ, and lived that way. Knowing that God has provided, He is providing, and He will provide in the future, because He has already done that in the past. It says, you joyfully handled the plundering of your goods. In other words, you weren't caught up in what you have in the here and now because you have so much more waiting for you in heaven. Now, ladies, I want you to look at your hands or your necks or your earrings or whatever. You know, you guys have gold there. Amen. You have gold? You have gold on your hands? All right. In heaven, that's the sidewalk. That's sidewalk in heaven. Do you have diamond earrings or diamond in your wedding bands? Ladies, say amen. Miss Ruth Ann has them in hers, but she left her rings at home this morning. I find that troubling since day after tomorrow is our 47th anniversary. But those diamonds that you have in heaven are walls. It's what the walls are made of. In other words, don't worry about the here and now. What you need to think of is the promises of what God has already given you in heaven. So friends, may I give you some advice? I'm going to do it whether you say amen or not. It is best not to get too attached to your stuff. Don't get too attached to that. Now, let me just describe stuff to you. Because stuff has a different meaning between husbands and wives. For instance, according to my wife, my stuff is junk. But her stuff is stuff. And so my stuff seems to diminish and her stuff increases. But because we are one, we can rejoice in that. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. And all our ladies said, amen. Hallelujah. So don't get too attached to your stuff. Listen, friends, God has provided for you. He will provide again. Don't worry about the here and now. If the Lord wants you to have it, you will have it. Amen. Now here's another reason why you don't get too attached to your stuff. It's because Satan will use your stuff against you. He will absolutely use it against you. He'll start whispering in your ears when you've accumulated a bunch of things. He'll say, things are tight. Times are hard. And if you don't start working more, if you don't start working longer, you're going to lose it all. You'll lose everything you have. I would like to give you my theological position on that. What a load of baloney. Let me share something with you. If your job is causing you to spend excessive time away from your family, if your job is stressing you out and stealing your joy and causing discord at home, if your job is taking you away from spending time with the Lord every single day, if your job is taking you away from church services and your church family, then my brothers and sisters in Christ, you have the wrong job. Amen. And here's how I know you have the wrong job, and the Lord is about to get your attention, because the job you were given by God was meant to be a blessing that draws you to God. Amen. That's what your job is intended to be. It's to be a blessing, not a hindrance that pulls you away from Him. And it's time to pray, if you are caught in that circumstance, it's time to pray that the Lord will give you a new job. Or the Lord will touch the heart of your current employer. That your job will become the blessing it's designed to be. The job will allow you opportunities to serve God in the workplace. That your job will give you opportunities to share the Lord Jesus Christ with people in your workplace. I mentioned this last week. When I decided to really start serving the Lord, every single day job I had since then, I told my employer, you can count me out after 5 in the afternoon. You can count me out on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, and Sunday morning. Count me out. Now, if we can get along and do that, and you still want me to work, I'll be the best employee you ever had. And when they say why, I said, because I'm not working for you. I'm working to glorify God. And that's who I care about. Amen. Hallelujah. Just give God praise in His house. And so God will give you those opportunities. Don't worry about your job, friends. God has already provided for you, and He will again. Remember yesterday's provision. And every single Christian sitting here knows this, that God has brought you through difficulties already. Amen? Has anybody been through a tough time in their life? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. All over. You know, why do Christians go through a tough time? Who else can go through tough times and glorify God but the child of God? God has brought you through these difficulties. So remember His provisions in the past. Our second point today. Not only remember your provisions in the past, resolve today's patience. And that's awkwardly worried, but I'm sorry about that, but I desperately needed an R and a P. Now look at verses 35 and 36 again in your Bibles. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In other words, don't lose your confidence now, because you'll need it again. Don't get frightened of things. Don't lose your confidence in the Lord. And friends, I'm going to share with you something that you may not be completely aware of. Are you ready for today's nugget? Say amen. Amen. The most valuable possession that you have when you are in trouble. Listen to me. The most valuable possession you have when you are in trouble is your confidence in God and His promises. Amen. That's the most valuable thing that you have. You remember, the word endurance and the word patience are intertwined. And so many Christians fail to receive because they fail to endure. Christians are to endure these times. But I don't want you to get the wrong idea about what patience is. Let me share this with you. Patience is more than just waiting. It's more than passive resignation to trials. Okay. How are you doing? Well, it's going through a tough time, but praise the Lord. You ever run into those folks? And all God's people, all the Baptists here said? Amen. Hallelujah. It's more than passive resignation to trials. It's more than suffering silently. The biblical word here, once again, for patience, hupomone, literally means to abide under. Abide under. It's the same word that is used in older Greek writings that are non-biblical. How many of you ever seen a picture of a little donkey or a little burro that has a pile of hay or whatever stacked up on him, looks like it's 10 feet high, and some guy sitting right on top? Same word. Abide under. It has the idea of steadfastness, the idea of constancy. It has the idea of staying power. In other words, hanging in there. Stick-to-itiveness. That's a Chuck Swindoll word, by the way. That's why I used it from the pulpit. And patience is the bridge between doing the will of God and joyfully doing the will of God. You got that? It's the difference between doing the will of God and joyfully doing the will of God. Now, the biblical commentator, William Barclay, said this. And by the way, theologically speaking, he was a bit of a liberal. But, you know, this particular thing he wrote down was good. Right? That's how theological liberals get more theological liberals, because they say good stuff once in a while. But listen to this. He says, hupomone is not the patience which can sit down and bow its head and let things descend upon it and passively endure until the storm has passed. It is a spirit which can bear things not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. Have you got that? Say amen. It is not the spirit that sits statically. enduring in one place, but the Spirit that bears saying, because it know that these things are leading to the goal of glory. It is not patience which grimly waits for the end, but patience that radiantly, dazzlingly waits on the future. In other words, you have the promises of God, children of God. And when you're, whatever you're going through at the moment, you can count on the Lord to keep His promises. Emmanuel Baptist Church, isn't that good? Isn't that good stuff? Y'all hang in there. I'm starting to preach now. Patience is not just sitting there. It's not just grinning and bearing it. Patience is the blazing hope that refuses to let go of the promises of God. Look at verse 36 one more time. Look at this. At the very end, the last part of the thing, it says, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What does it say there? It says, after we've done the will of God, then we receive the promise. What is the will of God? It's a personal relationship with you. It's an intimate relationship with God Almighty. Now listen, friends, a lot of us are good at reciting the promises of God in the Word of God. But we do so without remembering they are attached to obeying His commandments. I thought I'd get a testimony. I'm glad I brought my own. Listen, guys, I'll say that one more time. Never forget that the promises of God are attached to obeying His commandments. If He has called you to do something, if He's called you to serve somewhere, then you do it to the best of your ability to the glory of God. Amen? Amen? That is a commandment of God. If the Lord is telling you, if the Holy Spirit is telling you, you need to serve here, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. You see, faith and endurance is an attitude with action attached. Patience is Christian belief with legs on it. If you believe the promises of God, then you're going to do your duty. If you believe the promises of God, you're going to obey the commands of God. So just in a review here, first you remember yesterday's provision. In other words, Lord, thank you for providing for me when I needed it. Second, you resolve today's patience. Lord, I will endure because I have the promises of God and promises of heaven already. Amen. Now here's our final point. Rest in tomorrow's promises. Rest in tomorrow's promises. Look, if you will, in verse 37. Look at this. For yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Will not tarry. Now this is actually a quotation from the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 2 and verse 3. But Habakkuk wondered in that book, in chapter 1, because the Babylonians were running rampant through the Middle East, the ISIS of that day. God, where are you and why don't you do something? Lord, how can you allow this to happen? How can you allow what's going on, the suffering of your people? And he rails against the Lord for all of chapter 1. It's amazing. If that, tell me that God can't handle that. You know, because God just listens. And then he's asking, where are you, God, and why don't you do something? In other words, how can you let the Babylonians get away with that? May I ask, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever looked around at the world events and felt just like that? Lord, how is that possible that your people who are called by your name, that are Christians in the Middle East, Father, that you allowed 22 of them to be marched out on the shores of a lake, and then one by one, when they refused to recant Jesus Christ, had their heads cut off, one by one, each person given the chance to recant, none of them did, and even the last one with a trembling voice said, I glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, how can that possibly happen? That's what Habakkuk was asking in his day. As a matter of fact, turn to the book of Habakkuk in your Bibles. If you want to know where that is without going to the table of contents, go to the book of Matthew and then go left for 5 books. It's right smack in the middle of the minor prophets. I just want to share with you guys that as a preacher, I've been waiting for a couple years to tell someone to turn to the book of Habakkuk. If you're there, say amen. And I know it's going to take you guys a moment. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. So, the Lord has told Habakkuk at the end of chapter 1, hang on. I got it here. I've got it. And listen to chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk writing says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Now stay there in the book of Habakkuk. Let me tell you what he's really saying there. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart. The rampart was the highest part of any fort. It was where you could go up and there was nothing else around. So Habakkuk says, I'm going to get to a place where I'm wide open to receive what God wants to tell me. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to listen to what the Lord says. And I'm looking forward to my response to God. I'm looking forward to interacting with Almighty God. And God speaks to him in verses 2 and 3. Reading on, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for what? An appointed time. But at the end it will speak. And it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it. A little patience right there. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, God's saying this is coming in my time. What I'm telling you right now is going to happen, but it's in my time. Now, what does that all mean? What is God saying? Habakkuk was upset. He was confused. But he learned that what he could not understand, he would have to learn to stand under. I thought I'd get a better response out of that. I'm going to say that one more time. He learned that what he could not understand, he would simply stand under because it was a provision of Almighty God. And God didn't explain things to Habakkuk. God told him, listen, this vision, this promise is not for now. You need to wait. But it is one of my promises and it will come because I keep my word. And by the way, church, even if God did explain his plans, what makes us think we could understand them? In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, what does God say? I'm sure you can quote this right to me. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If God explained his actions, we wouldn't get it. We would not. And Habakkuk had to stay patient about the what of the salvation, of the situation, until he had the answer, which is found in the who. You see, the who is always the Lord. It's always the Lord. And so Habakkuk just began to look to the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And therefore, because thus saith the Lord, I will wait upon the Lord. And Habakkuk, who had began this whole book by yelling and shouting at Almighty God, then he stands before the Lord and says, I'm looking forward to what the Lord will tell me. I am looking forward to the Lord's correction. Have you ever had the temerity to say that? I am looking forward to the Lord's correction. He closes out the book on a high. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Listen to this. It's called a hymn of faith. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. In today's language, we would say it this way. Though the economy collapses, though my 401k gets emptied out, though everything that I depend on in this world may fail, listen to me now, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. And the last line of the book of Habakkuk reads this way. To the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Here's what he's saying to his worship leader. The Lord gave me this to write down. Here you go, Jamie. Take it and lead God's people in worship with it. See, that's where this is one of the places where I get the idea that any song we sing in this church will have Scripture in it. We want the Word of the Lord declared throughout the earth. Amen? And he's saying that. Take this and just sing it. Now listen, guys, life is not always going to be wonderful. But that doesn't remember, we can't remember His ultimate provision. The provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dark times don't mean we can't resolve to be patient today. Because we know the Lord Jesus Christ is with us step by step. See, that's the promise of tomorrow. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. That when that day comes, when the Lord calls you up yonder, you know that you'll be in heaven because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can rest in tomorrow's promises as we wait for the Lord's return. Amen? And we know He's returning. He could come back right this second. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air for the rapture? If not but this second, surely by the time we finish today's service. If not by the time we finish today's service on the way home, or surely sometime this week. I know that biblically speaking, there is nothing left undone that needs to be done for Jesus Christ to come back. Not that we can see. There's nothing left undone, so He could come back any time. Listen to me, friends. He is coming back for the redeemed of God. That means He's coming back for you if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how does that song go? We sing it once in a while. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you'd arise. You did, you're alive, amen? You rule, you reign. Don't worry, I'm not going to break out into song. Even though I want to. You said you're coming back again, I know you will, and all the earth will sing your praises. And then just for good measure, we repeat that last line. All the earth will sing your praises. Friends, we have the opportunity to remember the provisions of God in our lives. We do so and then we resolve with today's patience. And we rest in tomorrow's promises. Hallelujah. We rest in tomorrow's promises, the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me, you must receive Jesus Christ as Lord in order to go to heaven. How do I know that? Because Jesus said so. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says these words. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, sometimes we sit in church, and I want to tell you guys, you look nice today. You look so spiritual sitting here. But what does Romans 3:23 say? It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the verse that follows it immediately is where God says, but being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, there's an answer for our problem. The problem is that we are sinners, each and every single one of us. But the answer for that is that there is redemption found in Jesus Christ. And the secret is that all you have to do to receive the free gift of Christ, of salvation, is to receive Christ as Lord. I want you to understand that the supreme force in salvation is God's grace. You see, God's grace is amazing. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. Amen? I'm all about the grace. You know, we remember the story of Peter walking on the water. Amen? He saw the Lord Jesus, said, Lord, call to me and I will walk to you. And Peter gets out and he starts walking towards the Lord Jesus. And then he saw the tempest about him. He had forgotten the promises. Alright, and what happened? He starts to sink. And the Lord Jesus Christ reaches down and grabs, oh, you have little faith, and He pulls him up. Well, you know, Peter gets a bad shot for that sometimes. But can I remind you of something? There are 11 sets of eyes sitting in the boat. You ever feel like that in your service to the Lord? Oh, he tried, but they didn't come through. Yeah, but he got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. Listen, we are just like the Apostle Paul, and we're aware of two things. We are great sinners, and we need a great Savior. Amen? And we are also like the Apostle Peter, who was sinking into the water. He was also aware of two facts. We are going down, but God is standing up in the storm, and He's reaching down for us. If you'll only have a little faith. See, today you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. Did you know that we are never commanded to receive Him as our Savior? Nowhere in Scripture. We are commanded to receive Him as Lord. Why Jesus? We just said because of John chapter 14, verse 6. We just happened to speak about that. But what about John 3:16? For God so loved the world. What? That's you. That whosoever believeth, that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in Him. Hey, any whosoever's here? If you're a whosoever, raise your hand. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, which means be separated from God, but have everlasting life. Friends, the day is coming when time will be no more. And when that day comes, the Lord will separate people into two sides. Those that have received His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their Lord, and those that have not. If you are here today and you have never done that, we don't want you to leave without receiving Christ as Savior, receiving Him as your Lord. We don't want you to leave the same way that you came here. We don't want to get to heaven and not see your face. Wait a minute. I saw them sitting next to me. I saw them sitting in front of me in church. But I don't see them here. We don't want to be in that position. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were sitting here today, or you're watching on the internet, or listening to an audio, or watching a video of today's service, and something happened during this service where in an instant you knew that you knew that you knew that you were saved, I want you to know that you are already saved. Nothing else has to be done. You have already received Jesus Christ. Your eternity is assured in heaven. But why don't we formalize that? So that you can look back on September 2nd, 2018 and say, that is the day, that is the morning, at just afternoon on that day that I received Jesus Christ as Lord. Pray these words after yourself. It's not these words that saved you. You're already saved, but let's formalize it. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You came from heaven to earth in human form. I believe that You lived the perfect sinless life. And therefore, You went to the cross of Calvary as the perfect one-time sacrifice for my sins. I believe that You were in the grave 3 days. But on the third day, You rose again to the glory of God the Father. And because You have defeated death in the grave, today I receive You as my Lord. Please save me, Lord Jesus. And to the best of my ability, I will live for You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. Now look up here, church. If you receive Christ as Lord for the very first time, what I want you to do is we're going to stand. We're going to sing a song of invitation. I want you to stand up. I want you to walk down these aisles and come up and put your hand in my hand and let me know, Pastor Larry, today I received Jesus Christ for the first time. Or if you've never officially joined a church and you want Emmanuel Baptist Church to be your church home, I want you to say, Pastor Larry, I've received Christ. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been searching, I've been wandering around, but I want this to be my church, and I would like membership in this church. But let's say you came from another denomination, and somewhere along the line in your life, you were sprinkled in baptism, but you were never baptized by immersion, following the Lord Jesus Christ's example of being dunked. We want you to take care of that. That's not going to keep you out of heaven. But since Jesus did it, I think we should do it. And so I want you to come forward and say, Pastor Larry, I'm a member of this church. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. but I was never baptized by immersion, and I want to take care of that. Whatever God says to do, you need to do. Never say no when God says go. If you would, please, rise to your feet all over the sanctuary. And as our praise team sings this song of invitation, I want you to step out, even if all that you need is some prayer. Just walk down these aisles and join the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just give you thanks for Hallie and what she means to us and her church family and her family. Lord, I thank you so much for this young lady coming forward today and lifting herself up to you. Lord, whatever's going on in her life, Father, remind her that she is yours. Father, don't let her forget who she is, that she is a child of the living God, eternity and heaven bound. And Lord, I ask a blessing on her head from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Bow your heads quickly if you would. If you know a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, a family member that needs Jesus Christ in their life, would you just slip your hand up quickly? Slip your hand up and put your hands back down. Thank you so much. God bless you. Lord, we don't know their names, but you do. And these sweet souls of yours here at Emmanuel Baptist Church are thinking about them this very moment. So, Father, in just a moment, we're going to sing through this song one more time. And, Father, we lift those people up to you, Father, that they would see the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him. Father, make this membership your instruments of your grace. Give them the opportunity to share the gospel, to be Jesus to those people. And it's in the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. As we sing through one more time. Oh, sing it out, church. Sing it out. Sing it, sing it, sing it.
Jesus, Jesus, how I worship you.
Bow your heads, please, right where you are. As our men are coming, forward for today's offering, for today's Lord's Supper. Father, I look around this sanctuary, and each and every one of us here belong to you. And so, Father, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we want to take a moment, Father, to get right with you. We do not want to take and partake of this in an unworthy manner. And so, Lord, we lay all of our sins at your feet, those we know about and those we do not, those that we admit to ourselves and those we do not. But, Father, you know them. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you. Please forgive us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. Reading from the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Pastor Ivan Toro will now ask a blessing on the bread, a symbol of the broken body of Christ on the cross of Calvary.
Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for the gift that You've given us of Your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we partake of your body, Lord, help us to be mindful of all that You've done for us and all that You are for us. Thank You, Lord, that You are our representative. You are our example. We thank You that we would remember that. We would remember to be now Your body here on earth, Your hands, Your feet. We thank You for Your sacrifice in Jesus' name.
And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Pastor Divine Gonzalez will now ask a blessing upon the juice, a symbol of the bloodshed of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your one and only Son who died on the cross, shed His blood for the sins of the world. As we partake right now, Father, I ask that You accept it, Father, in a way that's pleasing to You, in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.
In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and we are so privileged and blessed to take part in this remembrance of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, His body broken, His blood shed, Father, for me. and for Brother John, and for Brother Cliff, and for Sister Audrey, and for each and every person that's ever lived, Father. We give you thanks for that. We give you thanks for our salvation. Father, we look to serve you and you alone. We will never forget what you have done. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. And if we could please have the offering plates brought forward. Sorry guys, they're excited about this. Church, what, it's time to give back our offering. How great is that? Amen? All right, Pastor Ivan, now that we have our sound thing starting to work pretty good, I want you to build a shelf right up underneath here for the offering plates. Right here. Look at his smile. I believe the Lord has called you to this. Brother Jim Smith, a deacon, elder, will now ask a blessing upon today's offering. Brother Jim, if you would, please.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you just giving you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you so much for all that you do for us, Lord. We pray that you can just use these tithes and offerings, Lord, to further your kingdom. Just touch the lives of people, that people can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, Lord. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And as our praise team returns to the stage, has it been good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
All right, give God a hand, would you please? Hallelujah. We have just a couple of announcements today. Next slide, please. All right, in 2 weeks, September 16th at 11 a.m., we're going to have our Unity service. In other words, we will have a service in here with ourselves and a Hispanic ministry. I will be preaching. Pastor Carol will be translating. Trust me, we do it pretty well. We've done it many, many times. We'll have both praise teams up here. You're going to love it. And you'll get a chance to worship with all of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Amen? It's going to be a great time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next slide, please. We got a schedule change. The Constitution Review Team first meeting will be next Sunday at 5 p.m. Next Sunday at 5 p.m., if you would, please. There is no evening service today. There will be no evening service today. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Enjoy Labor Day. Miss Ruth Ann and I will be leaving after church to go away on a first real vacation. Matter of fact, the first vacation we've had, just her and I, without a bunch of kids, grandkids, and associated members of the family in 35 years, 37 years. 37 years. First time alone. And this is going to be our honeymoon. So no service this evening. Next slide, please. Prayer matters. Please be here Wednesday night. Please be here Wednesday night. Pastor Divine will be leading the devotional and the prayer service. He's a wonderful, tender man of God. Please be here Wednesday night. Next slide, please. One more slide. Next slide. There we go. Still needed. Sunday school teachers, all ages, sign up in the Welcome Center. And here's what I want to say. Let me just share with you something that we've been together now about 8 weeks since we did the official merger. And I'm not one of those guys that comes in and changes a bunch of stuff. You know, I want to see what's working. And guys, we have a wonderful ministry here. We really do. And there's just a few little tweaks that we're going to need. And I'm going to need your help with that. Amen. Listen, for this church to grow, we need Sunday school teachers that are excited about Sunday school, teaching Sunday school to young people. and that are willing to call people and find people. Amen? For this church to grow, we need young couples. And by young couples, I don't mean myself and Miss Ruth Ann. Regardless of us going on our honeymoon, we're still in our... Well, I'm over the mid-60s, and you're still in the mid-60s. All right? So we need to grow. And so there's a few things that we want to do. All right? Amen? All right, so I will be sharing that. I'm going to call a meeting. I'm going to be sharing some of these things at our next business meeting. So make sure you're there for the next business meeting. Has it been good to be in God's house today? God, amen. If you would, please stand up all over the sanctuary.
We have a special birthday boy in the house. He's turning 18 tomorrow.
Who's that?
Happy birthday to Donnie. Donnie,
stand up, Donnie. You know,
turning 18 tomorrow.
You can't miss him. You can't miss that guy. If I played football, I'd find somebody like him and hide behind him. How about singing happy birthday to him while Miss Ruth Ann and I head down? Hey, folks. Oh. I don't want to miss out on a blessing.
Have a good trip.